The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
We're hoping you're having a good Labor Day 2019. And what an opportunity it is to spend some time with the family, as many businesses and industries recognize the benefit of good laborers, good workers. And so we want to talk about that today on this Labor Day. We decided, you know, when July the 4th comes around, we usually talk about our independence. Christmas, we talk about the birth of Christ. Easter, the resurrection. So on Labor Day, we want you to know the Bible has something to say about workers and work. And so we hope this will bless you today and strengthen you and help you. This is Bert Harper, along with Dr. Alex McFarland. And Alex, I grew up on a farm, and It wasn't just 6 days because of different animals that we had on our farm. Now, we didn't spend all day working, but we still had to milk the cows and feed and all the things you do with farm animals. Aren't you glad that God provided days in which you could rest some and worship Him? But what a blessing it is to be able to work the other days. Isn't it a blessing?
Well, it is. And what a joy to be with everybody on today's edition of Exploring the Word. And, you know, if people would humor us a little bit, I know you and me do oftentimes talk about our growing up years and everything like that. And you and I both were blessed in the way we grew up. I can tell that. And I grew up on a farm, too. We, for 68 years, my granddaddy, my daddy, and then me, we were in the chicken business, Bert. And The eggs that we sold, you know, those chickens, they have to be fed and watered 7 days a week. So I know about working on a farm. And Bert, I've got to tell you, growing up, I probably griped and complained more than my share of times. But I'm really glad from toddlerhood up, my family imparted to me a pretty good work ethic, I think. And I'm glad of it.
I am as well. And you know, I remember this, and it was someone, it was visiting the farm on the summer, and they got up, fed the chickens, they milked the cow and did all the hot things and took care of everything, and then they ate breakfast, and now the father, the grandfather said, it's time to work, and the young boy said, what do you mean work? And the father said, no, those were chores, now we go to work. Chores are something you kind of have to do every day. And when you're in the chicken business, man, you got to do it daily. When you know, the eggs do not quit, that chickens don't quit laying on the Sunday.
On Sunday.
They
don't.
And the cows still need to be milked. And so it's one of those things. And it was. I didn't know it then either, Alex. It was a great life, man. It was
life. Well, and you know something, I've told this story too, but I turned 16 on a Tuesday, and I mean, I was there at daybreak to wait in line to get my driver's license, and then my mother took me on to school, and I got out of school, I don't know, about 3:20 or 3:30, and then that evening, I ran an egg route. Now, I had been on the egg truck countless times growing up, but I had just two or three deliveries that afternoon, and it was a big, big deal because suddenly I was the driver. And you know what? Nowadays, you know, and of course we love parents, and for all that are raising their kids, especially raising their kids in the ways of the Lord, we have just total respect and appreciation. But I will say, we rode bikes, drove the tractor, swung from ropes in trees. I never had a helmet on. you know, we didn't know what safety was, really.
We didn't either.
And, you know, I was using power tools and things by the time I was, you know, probably 8, 9, 10 years old. My dad just said, bring it. You know, whatever you do, use any tool in the shop, but put it back when you're done with it. But I don't know, I was 17 or 18, and I had a van. We had a pretty rickety old van for little, small loads. And I was about 50 miles from home on a egg delivery, and the truck wouldn't run. And I had my route money. I had a leather zipper bag that we had the cash. And so I called my dad from a payphone, and I said, hey, the van is broke down. He said, well, get it fixed. And I said, well, I don't know what's wrong with it. He said, figure it out and use the route money if you need to, but find a mechanic or do something and, you know, get in. In other words, get back. Well, at first it kind of made me mad because I'm like, he's just left me out here to fend for myself. And about a mile down the road, I remembered there was a little garage and I walked to it. Anyway, the fan belt had come off of the alternator, and within about an hour and a half and $25 or $30 more, I was on my way. And I looking back, had I really been in a crisis, he would have come for me. But I kind of began to learn that you just got to get it done some days, don't you?
You do, and that was a lesson well taught, and it taught you as well, I can do this. You know, yes, I can do this. And your dad was doing you a favor, you know?
He really was. And, you know, a lot of the pretty wild travel schedule I keep throughout, you know, 25, 30 states a year. And
you've had to figure out a lot of things, haven't you?
You know, Colossians 3:23, and folks, we are talking about work because Labor Day is upon us, and we're going to talk a little bit about a biblical perspective on labor. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord and not for human masters. Do it as unto the Lord. Let me give you another scripture. And Psalm 90, verse 17 says, may the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Lord, establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Bert, what is God's view about, quote, the work of our hands?
Well, you see this in so much way that God in creation made us, and Adam, he told Adam, tend to the garden. Now, in those days, they didn't have the insects early on to destroy fruit. They did not have all the weeds that would come in and to cause the growth not to take place, but he still had to tend the garden. You had to gather. You had to sow. That was still a principle. So work was the very beginning, and it is with the hand. When God gave the illustration about the sower going and sowing seeds, guess mm-hmm. what that sower did? He reached down with his hands, picked up those seed, and sowed them. What a beautiful picture it is that God has given us just in creation. Look at our hands that he's made us that can hold, that can grasp, that can write. When you learn how to write, that can do so tedious of work and yet at the same time be able to lift huge amount of weight. God is amazing when it says, use what I've given you in order that you might be able to occupy the land that I've given you and to make the most of it. So it's a beautiful picture, Alex.
Well, it really is. It really is. And we're going to talk about some facts of work and with a challenge to view our vocation and our labors as really an act of worship. And so we're going to talk about this. And like Colossians says, you know, do it as unto the Lord. And I will say that coming to Jesus and being a believer can radically change how you look at work. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree fully. And honestly, he puts joy in it. Now, there are some jobs that's here upon the earth that I would say as a follower of Jesus Christ, I don't need to be a part of. I'm not going to start naming them. You can figure them out for yourself. But I heard this on one of our stories on Exploring Missions, Alex. There was this tribe that was reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they were growing tobacco. And the chief recognized that tobacco had issues about it, and he went to the man of God and said, what should we do? And he knew that their livelihood completely depended upon that tobacco. And he said, I think you need to go ahead and harvest the tobacco, but next year, how about planting cotton and corn? And so mm-hmm. that's what they did. The next year, now this really happened, The next year, the market fell out of the tobacco market, and it was so low that all those tribes around them that had raised tobacco, they did not have money. But the prices of cotton and corn went up, so they were able to sell their cotton and corn at premium prices, and it was just a blessing. And so all the chief came to that chief and asked him, now, how did you know that you were to plant cotton and corn? And the chief said, the man of God told me to. And so, you know, that was a labor of their hands. But there are some things that you do that bring greater reward, not just financially, but let me just say greater reward for what it brings to the humanity as well.
Well, there is reward, and I can testify, you know, Bert, when I was in college, and I'd only been a Christian a very short time, but if you listen to the show much, you know I really love cars. I've always been very intrigued by cars, so I decided I was going to sell cars a little bit, and I got a job at a local car dealership, and I went through a week of training, and the car manager, he was a tough critter. I'm going to tell you, he cursed, and let me just say that he was the stereotypical dishonest car salesman. And, you know, I thought, what have I gotten myself into? But I you know, I had a chance to sell cars and did it for a while and made some money. But one day he took me to lunch. And in fact, Bert, you know, I hadn't even been there like a week. And the owner of the dealership, who was an older man, would give me huge bank deposits to take across town to the bank. And I asked the owner one time, I said, you know, I appreciate you trusting me to do that and honored to do it. And he said, I could look at you and tell that you were honest. Well, I don't know how he knew that, but I was honest. But anyway, the manager, the tough talking, four letter word using manager, we had to go a few miles to pick up a car and we stopped to have lunch. And so we sat down at this restaurant. I could take you to the very spot, Bert. And I said, I'm going to say the blessing if you're okay with that. And he looked at me and he said, okay. And we bowed our head and I said the blessing. And I kind of got the gospel in there a little bit. Well, at the end of the week, I got my paycheck and there was a little small, you know, raise. And I went to the business office and I said, I think there's a mistake. And he said, no, you were given a raise. And your manager said he's been in this business 40 years, and nobody ever had the guts to pray over a meal with him. And he gave you a raise because he says you've got moxie. And that was a word people used to use that meant, you know, character or courage or something. Now, I didn't do that to get a pay raise or anything, but I will say this, and it's just by the grace of God, but I knew, having come to Christ, that should influence my work. I did take Jesus to work with me, and I said the blessing, not for a show or anything, but just because I thought it was what I was supposed to do. And this manager, who was, you know, pretty slippery guy, he appreciated that and acknowledged it. And so God will bless you if you honor him in your work, won't he?
He will. And that's what we're doing today. We're talking about work. That it's a God-given gift. It's not part of the curse. It's part of the blessing. And we're going to continue talking about that and looking at some scripture, I think, that will bless you today here on Labor Day. And we hope you're having a great day. But stay tuned for more as we look at the Word of God.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance each day to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for General David H. Berger, Commandant of the United States Marine Corps and a member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Philippians 2:3 reminds us of the qualities of a good leader. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for General Berger as he leads the men and women of the United States Marine Corps. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Sometimes the things that stand in the way of your spiritual progress aren't things at all. But Dr. Tony Evans says that if you're on God's path towards success, no obstacle matters. He'll share an example as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
I know some of you think that you're not going to make it because people keep getting in the way. One of the great manifestations of God is when folk who in the way get moved by God. One of the great stories of our church is when we were in a Del Turner Elementary School and the school told us we couldn't meet there anymore. There were some hardliners on the school board and they said, we are not going to let you stay there anymore, so get out. And we got the votes to get you out. And we had some people who were for us, but we had two people who were against us, which swayed it to the negative. We had a prayer meeting about, you know, God overruling, but we couldn't see how it would happen. We went there. We were sitting out there for like 2 hours waiting. They finally came out the room, and this is what they said. They said, we have good news for you. You will be able to remain in the school. And the reason you're going to be able to remain in the school is that the two people who are against you were riding here together, but there was an accident on the highway that blocked them from getting here. And we can't wait for them any longer. So we voted with who we had. We saw God intervene and block man. So the beautiful thing about your success is you can stop it, but no man can stop it.
If you're tired of standing in the way of your own growth and success, check out Tony's CD series, The Spiritual Toolkit. Get details today at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
This is Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Everybody here looking for a Bible in our own hearts and across the land. Anybody looking for a revival, lift up your voice and say amen.
What does God have to say about work? We're going to talk about the facts about God's view of work on today's edition of Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland here with Bert Harper, and you are listening to the American Family Radio Network. This is a pre-recorded show, and so we can't take live phone calls as we almost always do, but we're glad that you're listening. And hey, I do want to remind you that on the website, which is afr.net, you can listen to previous versions or shows from Exploring the Word and Abe Hamilton and Today's Issues and Airing the Addisons, and there's just Exploring Missions, and there's so much great, great content on the AFR website, and so it's our joy to be with you today, and we appreciate you listening. And Bert, let me say, before we get into the facts about work, the primary work of the Christian is serving the Savior, isn't it?
It is, and you know, if we're not mistaken, we'll think there's only one way. But he, you know, in a previous broadcast, we talked about the body, you know, and how all the body fits together, that we're not all one ear, we're not a hand, but the body fits together. Work is that way as well. When you do your job that you have here on earth, just like you gave that example, selling cars. Here you were, that was your job, selling cars. But on the way, you just stopped off for lunch, and you would ask the blessing, and it resulted in a witness. Now, you know, it was a witness of the grace of God. And so, Alex, as we do our work, we do His work when we do it well.
Well, we really do. We really do, because, you know, 1 Peter 2:15 says, this is the will of God, that by doing well, you will put to silence the arguments of foolish men. In other words, you know, we exude a life and a character and a witness that is just without argument. You know, Galatians talks about the fruits of the Spirit, and it says against such there is no law, and it really means you can't argue with it. I mean, you know, people might argue about doctrine or is the Bible the Word of God? And we can defend the faith. We can. But one of the greatest apologetic evidences is the life you set forth.
Amen.
And so with God's help and for his glory, may we exude a positive witness. But Bert, the first fact that I want to set on the table here about work is that work or vocation is part of God's design for us. I think about Adam was the first man, and God gave him employment. Genesis 2:15, work in the garden. So from the very first human God ever created, vocation was a part of the plan, wasn't it?
It was, and this was before the curse. And so the whole idea was that man is fulfilled. There's fulfillment in something being accomplished. Now, you know, all of us like certain things about certain areas of life. I enjoy mowing a yard because it's easy to look back to see what you have done and what you lack getting done. On some of those jobs where it's endless and you're hard to know how far you've gone and how much you like, you have to say, okay, Lord, I'm putting my hand to the plow. I'm following through. I'm doing your work. So different people operate differently. Even things that building and building a house, you see what you've accomplished. There's something that's within us that God has made in man, the desire for completion of a task.
Yes.
And so God's given Adam that vocation as he has given us vocation. And so, yes, even in the garden, there was work. And again, I've said it, so I'm repeating myself once again. That was before the curse, Alex.
Well, amen. The second point that I would bring out is that work is not the curse. In fact, I would say work is a blessing. Now, you know, there are times in life where you do jobs you don't really want to do, but oftentimes you do perhaps what you don't want to do because it's a pathway to the things that you do want to do. So work is not the curse, but work has definitely been impacted by the fall. In Genesis 3:19, there's a curse on work. You remember, it says, you know, by the sweat of your brow,
right,
you'll bring forth food from the earth, and thorns and thistles the earth will bring forth. So, Bert, isn't it fair to say that because of the fall and sin, some of the drudgery of work and the just the hardness of work has been intensified by the fall?
You know, when you talk about the fall, it's really a big study. The theme of the Bible is creation and redemption, but between that creation and redemption was the fall. And so in our fallenness, we are corrupt. Not only has the world reaped the consequences of sin, but we ourselves, in us dwelleth no good thing. So here we're finding if we're redeemed within ourselves, and I'm going to be cautious how I say this, Alex, the work is redeemed. It's no longer as drudgery as it was. It may be difficult. It may be hard. It may be in a difficult place, but there's even redemption in the work that we do. And so God is able to redeem all the things that he has created, and that's what's going to happen to the world one day. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and God, we're going to find that God does make all things well, and he does that for the believer in their work, Alex. There's joy in it. Now, you grew up on a farm. I grew up on a farm. I remember the quote, and it's what my daddy called the first public job I got. And I remember going, and it was at a furniture factory. And, man, I was working with my hands, and it was on an assembly line doing the same thing all day long. Well, I appreciated that job for that summer. I enjoyed that. I had the job. I thank God for it, but also thank God that he put a desire in my heart to do something else as well. So he can use the fallenness and the difficulty of one job to propel us to use gifts that God's given us to do another job and do it better, Alex.
Yeah, I'll tell you, you know, Hard work is a good thing. I mean, in fact, you know, I enjoy, you mentioned mowing. I love to do that too. I love to do yard work, and I like to get out there and sweat. And I don't know, I always feel like I'm getting dirt and toxins out of my body or something, you know, when I sweat.
Well, I think we are. Do you remember people used to use lard, you know, grease all the time, and they lived pretty long because they worked all that sweat and they got all those toxins out of them by that work, I believe.
I think they did, too. I think they did, too. And let me say this. In Romans 8, verse 21, it says, regarding when Christ returns, he makes all things new. And you know, you're right, there's creation, there's redemption, but there was sin and the fall, but there's ultimately the restoration of all things. Romans 8:21 says that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and the glory of the children of God. When we talk about the fall, there's this bondage and decay, this curse that is on the world right now due to our sin. But the third thing about work is that our chosen work, God gives each of us strengths and gifts, you know, you could call it ability, aptitude, even interests that lead us into our chosen work. You know, there's a whole lot of things that I'll never do because I couldn't. I mean, I will never be a mathematician. That's just not in the cards for me to be a mathematician because, you know, algebra and math didn't come to me. I don't think I would have ever gone into the medical field because, you know, Bert, I'll never forget, I was a kid. I came in the kitchen one day and Mom was cutting up a chicken for Sunday dinner. And all it took for me to run out of there was to see a chicken on the cutting board all in pieces. So it's just... my chosen work would never be in the medical field or where there's the sight of blood. But then I've got other things that I was made to do. And Bert, isn't it the most fulfilling thing when you find your God-ordained purpose?
It is. And, you know, it's amazing how God fits us together. Here I was. I majored in math for 2.5 years.
Bless you.
Yeah, and enjoyed it and still kind of enjoy some of that. But English was so foreign to me, it made no sense. And here you are, you English major, writer and everything. And you know, God called me to preach, and it's using the language. But I still don't know exactly why that's right and that's wrong. I just, you know, through correction of others, I've been able to at least be able to communicate in a way that is understandable. I'll put it that way. But God does use those gifts and those abilities that we have for a chosen vocation and their strengths and their weaknesses. And sometimes those weaknesses play a part as well, Alex. In other words, those weaknesses keep us from going in directions that we would not benefit others by. So God does what? He uses all things, the strengths and the weaknesses, but through our jobs and I would say through marriage, most of the time we find out those things that we're good at and those things that we're not good at. Work and marriage are great teachers, aren't they?
Oh, my word. They really are. And I will say that sometimes God gets us, you know, a little bit out of our comfort zone. God stretches us. I will just say in my own life, you know, I know when I'm out of my league. You know, I've shared the story of, you know, we were doing the Truth for New Generation conferences, and God has blessed those exceedingly. And I wanted to do a big, big Christmas pageant. And I rented an auditorium, and I booked an orchestra, and it wasn't coming together. But, I wanted to do the end-all, be-all Christmas, you know, pageant. And several people close to me, including Angie, said, I'm not sure that's what we're supposed to be doing. And, you know, we ended up, and I'll just tell you, I personally lost over $15,000. And Bert, you know, I can tell you, I knew that I was, you know, off script, shall we say.
Yeah, but you learn through that. Now, what happens when you don't learn and you keep repeating those same mistakes? But if God wanted you to and you failed in the past and God lays it on our heart to try again, you know, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, We may be knocked down, but we're not knocked out. And so God's Holy Spirit will lead us, even with our strengths and our weaknesses, to get us to do the work that God's given us to do. And it is a chosen work. It's a double choose. God chooses it for us, and we choose it as well. It's a great, great combination.
You know, I've always loved Psalm 16, verse 6, that says, "The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a godly heritage." Hmm. And think about the boundary lines of life. And you are so right that very often through our marriage and our spouse, we learn things about ourselves through our circumstances. And, you know, we do what we're good at, and we do what we're called to, and God might stretch us. And, you know, I think about Angie. She's served on the missions committee of our church. She served on the finance committee. And, I mean, that wasn't really her thing. She's a nurse. Turns out she's got some administrative skills that she's used in the church. And, you know, I think, just like Matthew 28 says, as you go, make disciples. Well, isn't it true on the journey of life, as you go, if you're available, God will use you, and you may even learn things about how you can be used that you didn't even know.
Amen, Alex. That is so true. And the fourth point you have here, I want to say it after we've done work, is part of God's design for us. It's not the result of curse. And God has chosen to work, and we choose it with our strengths and gifts. And this can result, and it should be, a form of worship. Yeah. Alex, I agree with that. I use this comment a lot. Worship is not complete until the work has commenced. I do believe work, and whatever that work is God's given you, that is part of worship. I agree with you 100%.
Exactly. And so work can be a form of worship, and we are, like Colossians says, whatever we're doing, do it as unto the Lord. I mean, you know, preach a sermon as unto the Lord, but I mean, if you're going to, that's why I'm a real stickler. I mean, if I build a doghouse, and I've built a few doghouses, I use a framing square, and I try to cut my 45s at the right angle. Some of you men know exactly what I'm talking about.
Some women do too now.
Exactly.
I've known a few women that do that better than some men.
But, you know, don't just slap it together. Do it as you're doing it for the Lord. Let me just flip number four over to, conversely, refusal to work at something productive is a sin. And I'm just going to say this. Laziness is ungodly. And it does trouble me, Bert, that in our society, very oftentimes inactivity and laziness is rewarded. Mm. And you know, the Bible is very clear that, you know, 1 Timothy 5:8, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Work is a blessing. Now, we're supposed to be good stewards and rest some too, but refusal to work, the Bible calls that a sin.
It is, and it's a balance. Jesus would pull away from the crowds to be with the 12, to rest a while. But the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about work, and it has a lot to say about the sluggard, that person that is lazy and will not do the work. And so you're exactly right. So when you're refusing to work, it's, as you said, work is a form of worship. You're refusing to worship. So if you go to church, you hold up your hands, sing loudly, and then you go out and do a sloppy job at your work, that does not connect. Alex, we'll be back with more, and we'll finish this up as you're listening to Exploring the Word on AFR.
Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Here, Jesus instructed his disciples to cross a lake and meet him on the other side of it. As they went, they were met by a violent windstorm that halted their progress. Often in our Christian lives, we receive clear instruction from the Lord, only to be met by an obstacle that halts our progress. We must, however, recognize that the onset of a storm does not cancel out God's instructions. Halted progress does not equal denied destination. When Jesus directed the disciples to go to the other side, he absolutely meant for them to get there. Delay does not equal denial.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. You wish things could be different, and the loss is overwhelming. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
Ever heard that praise song from years ago? I've got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. I think there's something to that. I'm Charles Morris with Haven Today, and I want to invite you to join me all week as we turn to God's Word and together find more of His joy in our lives.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at AFR.net.
No piece of literature has had more impact on the American culture than the Bible.
From the literature we read, to movies, art, and music, even to the naming of our cities and towns, the Bible has influenced and impacted every aspect of society.
Did you know America has literally hundreds of places named after Bible towns, perhaps more than anywhere in the world, except the Bible lands themselves?
In Texas, you can visit Athens or Corinth or Palestine, Eden, even Blessing, Texas. And don't forget Corpus Christi. And if you're in California, look up Antioch and Carmel or Goshen and Joshua Tree.
Pennsylvania has Philadelphia, Nazareth, Emmaus, even New Jerusalem. There's a Galilee in Rhode Island, Arkansas, and New York. And over 15 states have a Bethlehem. Engage with the Bible, with the many influences of this book of books.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, saving, he's a prisoner shaking savior. Chains, he's a chain breaker.
Hallelujah. If that song doesn't ring your bell, your clappers broke. I just love that song. He is a chain breaker. And this is Bert Harper, Alex McFarland, and this is Labor Day, and we're not taking calls today. This is a pre-record, and we're doing it special for Labor Day, and it's about work. And if you feel like you're chained to your work, I understand. Alex, I thought about that. You know, those guys that were prisoners, that was the under rowers in some of those Roman ships. I can't imagine on being her. If you remember Charlton Heston and him down there and rowing, and I just there are some jobs. And when we talk about work, I thought, okay, how do we bring balance to this? There are those, I would say, employers that need to look to see what they're asking their workers to do. There needs to be some balance in that as well, doesn't there?
There does. And I know sometimes people can be in jobs that are, you know, just very almost, as they say, dead-end jobs. And listen, getting through college and things like that, I mean, we've all had to do things that we didn't necessarily want to do. But, you know, if you can do it, you know, pray about that. Pray for God to enable things to happen where you can do what you're called to do, provide for your family, maybe go from one job to a more fulfilling job. And you know, I found this out then as now, because, hey, man, you know, I got stuff going on in my life of things that I have to do that are not exactly my favorite. But very often, the hard things and the things that are, you know, it takes discipline to do, they can benefit our character and they can grow us and cause us to be grateful for when we do the things we do want to do. So let me put in number five here. You know, we were talking about work can be a form of worship, but work is not only what we do, but work is something God often uses to help us become the person He wants us to be. You know, the Bible says it is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. And because, don't you, sometimes the hardness of work, it humbles us and it shapes us and it matures us and it purges us of carnality. And overall, I mean, work is very much a good tool to shape our character, isn't it, Bert?
It is. And when you were talking about that, I could not help a story about that I heard Ravi Zacharias share about in China several years ago. They were trying to get Bibles with China language into China, and they could take them in, but when they came out, they would check them to make sure that they had the same amount of Bibles, and, you know, they didn't leave them there. So these missionaries had about 30 Bibles, and they went to was able to do some things and let others see them, but they had to gather them back. But they saw this young woman who was a Christian, and her job, one of those jobs, communist China, her job was a street cleaner. And she was a Christian. That was as high as she would ever go because she was a Christian. She wasn't part of the Communist Party. She wasn't part of the regime. So she was stuck there no matter what for a lifetime. Different. You better praise God for America where you do able to advance without selling your soul. And so they asked her, she asked the missionaries, and they asked her what they could do for her, and she wasn't praying for a better job. She didn't say, pray for me. She said, I would love a copy of the Bible. And so they came up with a creative idea. I said, they're going to check the Bibles when they come out. All they're going to do is count how many there are. They're not going to open and see if there's anything missing, like is the book of Isaiah missing or part of Isaiah missing. So the husband and wife took those Bibles, and they took part of one out and part of another out, and they were able to bind them together and give them to that lady. And then when they left China, they had all the Bibles there. They were counting them. They didn't open and see how many they were or what was missing, because they wouldn't have known if anything was missing. They didn't know the Bible. But that girl who was at a street cleaner, that's all she did. You can imagine what all she had to clean off the streets in a horrible, horrible neighborhood. Her desire was not a better job, not better circumstance. Her desire was a copy of the Word of God. And so there are some jobs that you may be stuck at that is demeaning, that is difficult, and is hard. But I want to tell you, God, your reward is not down here. Your reward is in heaven. And so if you're at one of those jobs that you're stuck and you feel like there is no way, your reward is in heaven as you follow Him, Alex.
Amen. Wow. That is really powerful. You know, work being ministry, work is a type of ministry. There's something holy about work. Bert, I made my first trip to Africa in 2001, and we were in villages on foot going through Zambia for 3 weeks. And I remember I would see a lot of these Zambian women, and they lived, I mean, literally in a mud hut with a grass roof. And there would be, imagine sort of a semicircle that would be their area. Outside the hut, they would have a fire pit. And over maybe to one side, there would be a little area where they would cook. But these Zambian women would take like a tree branch and sweep like it was a broom. Imagine a tree branch with some leaves on one end, and they were always sweeping up the area, about a 25-foot circle around the front of their hut. And it moved my heart. I mean, there's something so holy about being a good steward of what you've got. And the men were out getting food. The women were keeping the home place there. And we were telling them about Jesus. But, you know, whatever you do, whether it's, you know, you might, God may have given you stewardship over a tiny little small amount, or God may have given you stewardship over a corporation. I don't know. But I honestly think our work is a type of ministry, Bert.
Yes,
and it behooves us to do whatever we're doing, that we're doing our very, very best for Christ.
Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. and do it as, how was it? Do it as unto the Lord. And
that's
when
right.
you do it that way, it is a ministry. I just tell you, when I was working in factories and worked in more than one, and I noticed those people who were doing doing due diligence to do their job and do it well. And I was just a youngster at that time, but I noticed that. And I thought, if I noticed that as a youngster, I'm going to notice that from others, and others are going to notice me, whether I was a bundle boy. Now, if everybody don't know what a bundle boy is, he's the guy that keeps the material there right by the seamstress to make sure she's got what is needed in order to make a pair of Levi jeans. That's what I did. And it was a job that I did, and I knew it was one that I didn't want to do, but they saw me working. And I was an old farm boy coming, and I did it. And supervisors saw me working, and they said, "Hey, Bert, you want to make some extra money and stay after work and help load some trucks?" Now, they could have asked anybody there, but they saw the diligence, and I praise God for that, because my dad taught me how to do that, man. He said, "You've got to do it with all your might." I knew what it was to carry fertilizer sacks and empty them up, and so I was used to hard work, so it wasn't anything new that way. But they notice your work, and your work and the way you do it is a ministry to others, that they will see your good works, and your good works is doing the job you have, doing it well, Alex. It is a ministry.
Well, the seventh thing that we would tell you about work this day is this, that Jesus did work. He came to earth to do the work assigned by his Father. In fact, in John 17, as Christ is on his way to the cross, the high priestly prayer of Jesus, there's a lot in there, and Bert and I have taught on it, but it's always touched my heart, Bert. Jesus prayed. He said, "Father, I have finished the work you gave me to do." Now, and we know he went to the cross, he paid our sin in full, but wouldn't it be good for us whenever we're going to leave this world, or, you know, whether we live to a ripe old age or whenever, but that we meet the Lord knowing that to the best of our ability, we did the work we were put here to do, just like Christ
Amen.
Did.
Amen. Alex, what a great, great thought. And let me say this, the Apostle Paul, he was trained at Gamaliel's feet, but he is also a tent maker. And many times on the way, he did the tents in order not to— The churches or the towns that he was at did not have money, or he felt like he didn't need to ask them for money, although he was worthy of that pay that he would have received. And he used that. And Jesus was a carpenter up until the 30th year, where he became the itinerant teacher, you know. And so there's no doubt in my mind, you remember he grew in favor with God and with man. Part mm-hmm. of growing in favor with man is what? Learning to work with your hands. And so
yes.
Jesus completed the work of redemption, but there's no doubt in my mind he also completed the work that needed to be done as a 30-year-old man, as he would leave and become that itinerant teacher, as he had been a carpenter. So God uses all of that for his glory.
Well, and moms and dads, one of the greatest gifts that you'll ever give your kids, and this is such a gift, is to instill within them a strong work ethic. And that, and I'm going to be meddling here, and if I say anything I shouldn't, I ask everybody's forgiveness in advance. But don't just give them the keys to a car at age 16. At least on some level, let them work and help earn the right to transportation, maybe buy their own car when they're 18, 19, or 20. Or things like this. I had to pay my own tuition, and I give God the glory that we did it. My mom and dad, we had all kind of money problems, and so they wanted me to go to college, and I wanted to go to college, but you know, about 99.5% of it I had to pay myself. But I'll tell you, I worked to try to make A's, not because I was all that studious at that point in my life, but I thought, I paid for this, I better get the most out of it.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, you invest something, you want something out of it. I agree fully. Alex, amen, brother. Preach it. That's not just meddling. That is great advice, okay?
Yeah. Don't just give everything you know, life on a silver platter, because life doesn't come that way. I mean, you know, God is good and God is abundant to us, but what we get, you know, we have to work for it. And let me say, point number eight is this, that work done here on earth will influence the work we do and are able to do in heaven. The great theologian, the world expert on the resurrection, Dr. Gary Habermas, brilliant, brilliant, godly guy. And Dr. Habermas is just one of the most dear Christians I've ever known, and just so intelligent. But he says this, that how we live our life here really does determine our capacity to experience heaven.
Yes.
And I know saved is saved, but, you know, the Bible says, you know, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. Here I'm going to make you overseer over many things. And Bert, we don't know completely what heaven's going to be like. We know it's going to be wonderful, but if we're diligent and faithful and obedient and trustworthy in our walk for Christ here, we're going to be entrusted with things in heaven.
I agree with you.
So, friend, your experience of heaven, at least in some measure, is being defined by how you live and serve and work here on earth.
Dr. Bobby Moore, my mentor, was one of my mentors, was the first one I heard. It says our discipleship down here of serving the Lord, working in the Lord's work, doing a job down here will determine our capacity to enjoy heaven later. Now, wow, you'll be there, but if you've done great work down here, faithful, the capacity to enjoy heaven will be greater. Praise the Lord. Yes, I agree fully. What's number nine?
Well, no, number nine is the following, that God expects us to work and not just pray and have faith. And you remember, you know, it says that faith without works is dead. You remember? James chapter 2?
Yeah.
So, sure, we are to pray and we are to have faith. But it's amazing how things really begin to happen when faith and prayer is coupled with some shoe leather. Shall we say?
Yeah, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, you remember we talked about work. Not working is laziness, so that would not be righteous. So part of your prayer life determines on your work life, just to be righteous with God and be right with God. Now, Alex, I don't think I'm stretching the scriptures to say that.
Well, Galatians 6, verse 9, very famously says, "Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up or if we faint not." So let us not grow weary in doing well. You know, we want our churches to grow, but we've got to get involved.
Yeah.
And let me say that there is our vocation by which we put food on the table, and we need to carry that forth in a godly way. But then there's our service to the Lord. And, you know, I've told the story twice now. I've been to Santa Ana, California, with a restoration church, Pastor Jorge Pena, amazing church. But they, in the last, like, 3 years, they've baptized 800 new believers that were led to Christ on the doorstep, out knocking on doors. And 800 baptisms and salvations.
And that was work. Hey, get number 10. We got a minute left.
Work done in this world and for God really has eternal implications. Your labor, 1 Corinthians 15:58, your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
You mean God takes notice?
He sees it all, doesn't he?
And he's going to reward us according to that. When we get to heaven, there's rewards waiting. And I think we've tied that into a labor, and it's a labor of love. Making your work a labor of love. We're hoping you're having a great Labor Day. You may have some time with your family. You may be doing some things around the house. But we hope you have a great day. And Alex, man, it's a great day to serve the Lord.
And our labor in His vineyard counts for eternity. Folks, thanks for listening to Exploring the Word. And be with us next time on the American Family Radio Network. God bless you.